Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone here this morning. I tell you, it was a great weekend last weekend for our church growth seminar. And if you missed it, well, we have it all recorded. If you weren't able to be here for Saturday or for all day Sunday or for worship or whatever, we do have it recorded. We have all four of Robert's messages on the website. You can just go to our website, click on them, and live stream. Well, I guess it's not live, but it is streaming audio. You can listen to them along with all the, actually all of our sermons are on there. But anyway, Robert's are on there, but we do have them on CD. If you do not have the technology to download that and put it on a CD, just let me know, send me an email, or just say, hey, give me a CD, and we can make copies of the CDs that we have, and so you can have those. They're great. Everybody who was here knows that it was, he does a great job, and so, I mean, it was an exciting time, but Robert is one of those personalities who you cannot be around him very long at all without knowing exactly what it is that he's about. I mean, just, that's it. Period. You know, it's not one of these guys who hides his love for the Lord and his love for lost people. He's not one of these guys who's in denial of what his purpose is about. He's not one of these guys who allows everything else in the world that there is to do to distract him away from what he is about. And if you got the opportunity, the privilege to meet him, it comes across. I mean, it comes across that he believes with all of his heart. And he tells everyone that he meets that God has made him a light. And he knows that. And I want to be that way. I really do. I've listened to him preach, and I had the privilege of eating breakfast with him every week for about 2 years, once a week, and we got together, and he would talk and just tell me about the things that he's doing, and that is an individual who loves God and loves people, and I want to be like that. I want to hide less, and I want to love people more. Because I believe that's what God's called us to do. And so now, after a great weekend, we've had two wonderful Sundays in a row and one Saturday and Sunday. I mean, our kingdom assignments, and I so appreciate Al praying for the kingdom assignments, because I'm telling you, the nerves have not settled down yet. There's still some are getting in there and realizing, hey, this was kind of scary at first, but I'm all right now, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to grow. But we do have some that are still struggling and still holding on to, man, what I want to do something, but what do I want to, and that's okay. That's kind of what this is all about. But we had a great response to our kingdom assignments, and there's 24, 25 some odd $100 bills out there floating around waiting for God to do something mighty with them. And there's 25, 50 some odd hearts out there that are just ready to explode, and that's exciting. So we have this kingdom assignment weekend where so many people respond, and it's just, there's a buzz about that, and I preach a lot of sermons, and I guarantee you that you probably, at the end of the year, you couldn't remember four of them. But you'll remember that one. That's one that we, as a congregation, will be, man, the kingdom, it's going to make an impact. And that was great. And then we had this church growth seminar where our brother from St. Louis comes, and he really, I mean, that guy put the word on us. And he put the challenge out there. And he opened up the Word of God and in a way that just really brought it to life, showed us what we know. I mean, he didn't tell us anything we didn't already know, but he told us in a way that was unmistakable. The question that we have, the only question that remains now, the only thing that I could think to say all week long, I just, I labor over it, and Jim knows, and I appreciate his prayers. I pray about this, and I think about it, and I agonize over it. And the only thing I could come up with after two great weeks is,
What now? Yeah, here you go.
See how hard that was for me to come up with? Going, what now? Now what do we do? I mean, we've got money in our pocket. We've got that challenge in our pocket. We've got a $100 bill, or we've got somebody that we know, or we've got something that is specific. I mean, we have the challenge of being specific now. And that's what we're scared of, is it's specific. I mean, it's easy for us to talk about, a man goes into, we're talking about the parable of the sower. A guy goes into a field and he throws the seed, and that's just so generic. I mean, you've read that. Remember Matthew 13? I mean, that guy's throwing seed and it goes everywhere. He goes on the road. He goes in the media, that goes on the right of way. It's in the bushes. It's in the, he's just throwing seed. It's just everywhere. And he doesn't know each one of them seeds individually. He hasn't named them. So I mean, we love that parable because it's anonymous. It's so generic. We can just say, well, God does what God does, man. Who knows where the wind blows? God does what he does. 2 weeks ago, we got specific. Now we have this, what now? I mean, because you can't mistake Acts 13 and 47, because God says, for this is what the Lord commanded us. I have made you a light for the nations. I've made you a light for lost people, that you may bring salvation to everyone. I've made you into something that will go where there is not what you are. I've made you a light to go to the darkness. I've made you saved to go to the lost so that you can take what you have and be specific about it and find areas that need you, need that seed, need that word, need that love. I've made this. I've made you into this. We can't get away from that. It's the reality that we live under. What now? Now what do we do? I mean, the seminars are great. And, the challenges are awesome. I mean, it's exciting. There's a buzz about the congregation when we leave here and we're like, oh, what am I going to do? And the ideas are flying and the fear. That's great. I mean, great things happen in the ministry of Jesus with his people, with his apostles, with his disciples. Think about it. Great things happened when those guys got scared. When there was a storm and Jesus walking on the water, they were scared, and great things happened right then. I mean, think about all throughout the Scripture. When people got really scared in the will of God, amazing things were fixing to happen. And here we are. What now? Now what? The fact of the matter is this. We have choices that we have to make. There are choices that matter now. You want to know now what? Now what? We choose. That's what. We choose. Because you see, 2 weeks ago, there was a challenge placed before us. And a lot of people came forward thinking, you know what? I want to do something. Yes, here I am. Send me. I want to go and do something. And it was for a lot of us, it was kind of this anonymous thing. And maybe it was, just always like we've always thought, just that show of support. And I've talked to a lot of people and what are you going to do? And they come and they ask me and say, well, I want to do something that's going to support something. And I said, well, what does that mean, support? It's got to be, it's got to be specific now. We chose to come forward. Now what? We have to continue to choose. There's choices that we have to make. Are we going to think now, wow, that was a great sermon. Wow, that was a great seminar. That guy can preach. That guy really, those were some awesome videos. That was neat. I feel good about it. I came to church 2 days in a row on a weekend. That just never happens. That's awesome. Are we going to do something about what we heard?
or we can continue to choose to act on the realization of what God wants us to do. Are we going to continue to choose? The answer to that is yes. We're going to continue to choose to go in that Godward direction, as scary and as demanding and as sacrificial as that might be. We're going to continue to go in that direction. We're going to choose to retreat and go in another. Those are the facts that we're left with. This morning, I want to share with you some choices that we have to make. I'm going to share with you three choices that we have. And circle that word on your worship handout. The choices that we have to make, because that's what these are. They're choices. We're going to choose what we're going to do at this point. We're going to choose this Sunday whether or not we're going to continue with the response to go into all the world and to make an impact for the kingdom. We're going to choose to do something. Are we going to make an impact on the gates of hell? That's what we're called to do. I was talking to a kingdom assignee this week. And I was being very challenging with this individual. I was saying, you know what this is all about? It isn't about just doing something that feels good. It's about making an impact on the gates of hell. Isn't that what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 when he tells Peter, when Peter confesses, you know what? You are Lord. You're the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said about Jesus. And Jesus turns it around on him and says, you know what? That's exactly right. And this is going to get real specific for you, Peter, because that is the truth. And you're going to be a part of something that's going to break down the gates of hell. That's what Jesus said. You know, Peter is good about just saying things, and we're good about just saying things, and it's real fun to just say a bunch of stuff, and boy, Lord, we lift your name on high, and man, this is great, and aren't we good, and all. And then Jesus says, all right, well, there's going to come a Monday when the gates of hell are going to be encountered by you, and you have the power to break them down, or you have the choice to walk away. See, two Sundays ago, we got real specific on that. We said, hey, your sphere of influence, church, rubs up against the gates of hell. They really do. And the church is not a defensive organization. The church is an offensive weapon in the hands of a mighty God. And the choice is, are we going to continue the assault on the areas and the kingdom of darkness, or are we just going to find something to feel good about? Are we going to make an impact? Are we going to be the light that God has made us? I mean, whoever thought about those words right there, and if you've still got... Troy, is there any way to go back to Acts 17 or Acts 13? Here, I have made you. I want us just to think about those words. God is saying to each one of us in this room, if we are a Christian, if we are a child of God, if we have confessed Him as Lord and been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection, if we have allowed Him to be Lord of our life, and that's what He's saying, okay, I have made you into a light for lost people. Now we have a Garden of Eden moment right here where we have an opportunity to remain what God has made us, or to remake ourselves into something else. Because you see, God's made us into a light for lost people. We're not growing His kingdom by assaulting the kingdom of darkness. And we're making ourselves into something else. And we have Garden of Gethsemane moments where we say, Lord, take this cup from us. And then we have Garden of Eden moments where we say, you know what? I want to forget it. You don't have to take it. I'm just going to put it down. Some choices that we have to make.
We've heard some things. We've been challenged with some things. And I believe with all of my heart, 2009 is a turning point for Highland Hills Church of Christ. I believe with all of my heart that we're going to face one of two problems this year. We're going to face, how are we going to remain a church? Or we're going to face, how are we going to house all these people? One of two problems. We're either going to have to start another service to continue the seating for people that want to come here and worship because they are about all of the ministries going on here, or it's going to get to the point where, wow, you know, how is there any point in doing what we're doing? I believe that, guys, because we prayed about that, and that we prayed before God for Him to do things through us, and either He's going to honor them or we're not. That's our choices. First choice we have today is to agree or disagree. Do you agree or do you disagree with what you've heard? Do you agree or do you disagree that evangelism and growing the church and sowing seed and bringing in other people who need the love of God, do you agree or do you disagree that all this is biblical? I mean, because that's what we do. You know, we want to be right smack dab in the will of God. So we get into His Word and we say, Lord, tell me, show me, teach me, mold me, guide me throughout my week and guide me throughout my day. Guide my words and my heart. Guide my desires. Do we agree or disagree that growing this church is biblical? That's a choice. If we want to be biblical people, if we want to be first century style Christians, we have to make a choice. Is what is growing the kingdom of God even biblical? I mean, do we agree with Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, where Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, look, you are salt to the world. You are a light on a hill. Do we agree with that? Are we? Am I a light to the world? I mean, we have to just choose. It's individual. I mean, we can go around the room and I can just start pointing out people and I'll do that to those that I know won't be offended when I do it. But is Mark Osborne, is he a light or not? He has to make that choice. You know, Denning Harder has to decide, am I a light or not? You have to agree or disagree. Is it even biblical? Does the Bible say that this is what I should be? We have to agree or disagree that growing the kingdom, that evangelism is a result of our relationship with God. It isn't a rule to keep. It is a result of a relationship. Or do we have to agree or disagree that Paul said to the church in Rome, you know what? God's grace, His salvation, the relationship that I have with Him, it has an effect on me. Do we agree or not? Do we agree with that, or do we agree that or disagree? Say, no, what? It doesn't have an effect on me. You know, God's grace all day long. He can save me all He wants to, but it's not going to change anything about me. Do you agree or disagree? That's a choice we have to make. Do we agree or disagree that evangelism is for everyone? It's available to everyone. Everyone can do it. Everyone is a target. Do we agree with the Bible when it says in Acts chapter 17? And I love this. I love this passage. Acts 17, and starting in verse 27. Well, let's start in 24 because that's even better. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Does that statement make us think, well, then if He's our Lord and Savior and He's the Lord of heaven and earth, then His will be done instead of mine all the time? He's the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if He needs anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them in the exact places where they should live. Hear this, church, my friends, my family. God determined that we would be here in this in this day and age. God set forth that I would be me and I would be who I am. And He set forth that other people would be themselves and that they would be who that they are. And he ordained that our paths would cross. You know why He did that? Do you know why that God has put people in your life and in my life? You know why He did that? He did that so that people would seek Him and perhaps reject Him. That's why He did it. He put people in your path. He put people in your chair, in your classroom, in your workplace, in your restaurant. He put people there so that they would see you and perhaps reach out to the God who has remade you. Though He is not far from each one of us, we have a choice. We have a choice to make. Do we agree or do we disagree? Is this true? Because if it's not, then we're okay. We're fine. But if it is, the choice is continued. Second choice we have to make this morning, not do we agree or disagree, but once we get past that, do we accept or do we deny? I mean, once you get past that, and let's just say for the sake of argument that all of us in here say, all right, I agree. That stuff is at least true. Now what? If we agree that it's true, do you accept or deny your personal role? Do I accept or deny my personal role? And let me just open up my heart to you right now. This right here, what I'm doing, is not the sum total of my personal role. I don't believe that. So don't think I get a pass. Don't think I get the pass of anonymity that I can just say this to a crowd of faceless strangers, you know, because A, you guys are my family. And I don't get to say this to people I don't know. And I don't get a pass on being personal with people. I don't get a pass on being the salt and the light to the individuals in the specific situations. So will we accept our role? Or will we leave it for other people? I mean, because that's the beauty of a crowd. You know, that's the neat thing about a crowd. One of the things that I love about potluck lunch here is that cleanup can be a breeze, or it can be a lot of work. You know, I'm a talker. Surprise. And there's a lot of times when I can be out here talking, and we've eaten, and man, those tables can just miraculously, you know, after church, and I gotta go stand out there and greet people. This is what I got supposed to do. I'm the preacher, right? I'm supposed to be out there greeting and hugging and shaking hands and kissing babies, right? And guess what's going on in here? Walls are getting moved, chairs are getting moved around, tables are getting stacked and rolled and all that. And I'm just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Are they almost done? Are they almost done? Oh, I'll go in there now. All right. I'm just kidding. I know. You know, I can stand out there and just be pretty and charming and all this work gets done. And then we eat. Then you got to clean up. You know what I can do then? Oh, I got real important things I got to do. I got a phone call over here I got to make. Oh, it just gets miraculously broke down. Tables get wiped and put in that closet. Chairs get stacked. This thing gets rearranged. Then I have to come back on Monday and fix it and... You know, I can just hide back in the background, just be like, we're done. And I'm a part of the group that got all that done. I mean, I'm a member here, right? I'm associated with the group that got all that done. And I enjoyed it and all of that. But you know what? I didn't have to do anything. And guess what? It still happened. Do we accept or deny our personal role? We'll leave it to other people. Do we even believe, will we even accept or deny that other people deserve what we have?
That's one hurdle that we really have to get. We meet some people that are living in darkness, and we meet some people that are taking advantage of the light, and it's really hard, but will we accept or deny that they deserve what we have even as much as we do? To swallow whatever pride might keep us from making that choice. Because isn't Jesus that said in John 14-15, if you love me, you will do what I've asked you to do. What did he ask us to do? Go into the world and preach? He said, go into the world and teach? He said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to share the relationship that you have with me. Go to, you know, the end of Matthew's gospel. You know, was that Matthew 28? Matthew 28, what does Jesus say for us to do? He says, you know, I want you to make disciples. If you love me, you'll do what I've asked you to do. The only thing he really asks us to do is to make other people like us. He says, make disciples, grow the kingdom. We cannot say that we love him if we're not doing that. Well, I guess we can, but John would also say that we are liars. Other people deserve the salvation. So the last choice we have to make, when we agree or disagree, and then we accept or deny. Let's just say for the sake of argument, we agree. It's biblical. It's God. It's what God wants. He wants me out there making a difference for His kingdom. He wants me sowing specific seed and allowing the power of Him to work and to grow that into the kingdom. And I'm going to accept my responsibility. Yes, I have a personal role in this, and I have something that I need to do, and God has put people in my life for the express purpose of so that they can reach out to Him. Now what? Arrange life accordingly. We're going to have to change. I'm going to have to change. You are going to have to change. We're going to have to fix things that are broken. We're going to have to amend behaviors that have become habitual for us. We have to arrange life accordingly. Choice within that choice is, do you even need to change? Because if we don't believe we need to, and I'm not saying that tomorrow we have to be 120 Robert Coxes running out, but change, whether it's baby steps or big giant leaps, there's a choice that we have to make, and most of us in this room will need to make changes in the way that we go about life on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. And it's time for us as God's people to stop calling ourselves God's people if we will not be about His work at all. Do you even need to? And will you even change? And maybe that's not just the actions, but the attitude with which it's done. Because we all do good things for people, but do we do them in the name of Jesus? I mean, that's one of the things that people have said, you know, Shane, I do these things. I already reach out and I'm already doing good things. I'm already feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the empty and all those things. And my question is, do we do that in the name of Jesus, or do we do that in our own name? Big difference. Might need some change. Might need to arrange life accordingly. You see, in Mark chapter 9 and 38, Jesus says that if anyone offers you a cup of water in my name, he is one of us. We really mistake a lot of what he says. He's, you know, the cup of water is not the important part of that passage. The in my name is the important part. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, and we'll end with this. I love hearing that people turn in their Bibles. You know, one thing that we've gotten away from is bringing our Bibles to church. Might need to change. We have these things. We need to bring them. We need to be people of the Word. Keep them with us and read them and have them out so people can see us in the Word of God. And here's something that I love about one of the encounters that Peter has with somebody who needs something. In Acts chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They were going to church. And 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter said, look straight at him. Peter got real specific and he said, look at me. Or look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Now, the original language that he says to them, the things that it's better translated, silver or gold, I do not have for you. Now, I don't believe that Peter was destitute at that point. He was not broke. He did not have zero money. What he's telling this guy is the money that I have right now on me, on my person, is not for you. But what I do have is for you. I'll give you what I can. I'll give you what is for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, there is a big difference in doing something good for someone and doing it in the name of God so that He will be glorified. Not me. So that people will see God in me and reach out for Him. You see, we do a lot of good deeds as people, as a church. There's no doubt about it. Nobody's debating that. But the question then comes, is there a change? Is there an amendment that we need to make? Do we need to do it in the name of Christ? So that instead of me getting the glory, instead of me being praised by men, so that instead of people seeing the good in me, they will see the good in God. And He will be glorified and He will be praised and His kingdom will grow. Now what? The challenge is there. The choices are obvious and evident. Will a change be made? It is time. It is time for the little church that could to let God grow His kingdom through us. It's time to do that. It's time to be a light for the nations. This morning, if you need to be made into a light, if you need to confess Christ and be baptized this morning, if you need to put Him on as your Lord and Savior and allow Him to maneuver your life in such a way that He is glorified and you are saved forever, that choice is available this morning. You need to choose to make some changes, to make some amendments, to arrange life according to the Bible, according to His Word. That choice is available as well as together we stand and as we sing.